All right, if you would turn in your Bible, we're going to, I don't know that I've ever focused, I've mentioned this subject a number of times in a number of messages. I never give a soul winning message or go soul winning without trying to bring, well, I'll bring this up, this subject up. This morning we're going to talk about a bad place. We're going to talk about the lake of fire. A lot of times we don't realize how many times the lake of fire is talked about in the Bible, but it's mentioned five different times in the Bible. You can go ahead and go to the first passage, and it's Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, that's the first mention of the lake of fire in the Bible. Now, there's a number of places where it's referred to as the everlasting fire or the everlasting punishment or things of that nature. But I want you to know, a lot of people look at hell as being everlasting. I want you to understand, and I'm not trying to split hairs over it, but I think God's people ought to understand these things. Hell is not forever. You say, what? No, hell is a temporary place. If you get arrested, they do not send you automatically to prison. When you get arrested for something, they send you to jail. Then you have a court date. Then if you're convicted, then they send you to prison. And especially if it's life, they're not going to keep you in jail. They're going to keep you in prison. Well, I want you to get this and understand hell is jail. Hell is a temporary place where people go when they don't know Jesus. The lake of fire is the eternal place. And we're going to go over some things about that. And I want you to understand that a lot of people don't understand it. We understand it because the Bible clearly tells us about the lake of fire. It tells us about hell. Where is the rich man in Luke chapter 16? 2,000 years later, he's still in hell. He's still wanting that drop of water. He's still begging for mercy. Now, he knows that by now his five brothers are probably there with him, unless somebody, a soul winner, won them to Christ. But the truth is, hell is a temporary place. And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of that. I want you to look at this particular passage, and we'll look at this. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. And it says, and the beast was taken with him, and with him was the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you for the Bible that tells us about these awful places and tells us the best part about the Bible is it tells us how to avoid them. And Lord, I thank you that there's a way to avoid them by getting our name in the book of life. And Lord, we just ask you to move in a special way. Keep the preacher out of your way. And Lord, let us hear from your Holy Spirit. Lord, you've got a message for your people this morning. Lord, we want to hear from you, not from the preacher. Lord, we need to hear from you. Let the name of Jesus be glorified in what we say today. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit have freedom to move and touch our hearts and mold us and make us more like Jesus. For it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I want you to understand some things about this particular passage because the book of life is the only hope that we have of getting away from that lake of fire. And the only way you can get your name in the book of life is to be born again, to be saved. What we see here is the fact that, and we're seeing things accelerate real quick in our world today. And you say, well, who are the beast and the false prophet? I don't know. I'm not sure who the Antichrist is, although I have some people that are jockeying for position today on where they want to, that could very well be the Antichrist, or could be the beast, or could be the false prophet. But I want you to know this, I want you to get this, in the fact that it doesn't matter. We're seeing things accelerate real quick in our world and in our country. We're seeing the powers that be putting pressure on people to do things. And what we need to do is to remember that our trust is not in anybody but God. But what is that lake of fire for? Well, I want to qualify it. The lake of fire is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. When Jesus says, "The everlasting fire, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That's where the devil's going to spend eternity. That's where his name is on the mailbox. It was made for him. It was never intended for people. But this particular passage here, it's talking about two members of the unholy Trinity. You know that the devil's always got his counterfeit. He's got the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist, or the unholy, Satan's Trinity. Just like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is God's Trinity. There's so many things in the Bible that we can look at and compare, but I want to spend some time on this awful place called the Lake of Fire, because it's an awful place, and like I drive this point home, it was never intended for people. Never intended for people. So why did God make it? He made it for the devil. The shame of it is the devil's kids are going to go there too. You say, "Devil, the devil doesn't have any kids." Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus told the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said, told the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father the devil." The devil's got kids. In fact, you and I were the devil's kids until we got saved. That's what makes the difference. When you're born one of the devil's kids. When you're born again, you're born into God's family. But the lake of fire here is an awful place. It's a terrible place. And it is exactly what it's described to be. It is fire. And a lot of people say, there's no way to make a fire that can continue to burn forever. You really want to take a chance on that? Look up. The sun's up there. How long has that been burning? I know about 6,000 years. It hadn't burned down. What about that bush that God used to get Moses' attention on the mountain? Guess what? It was burning and was not consumed. He can do that with a soul too. He doesn't want to. Your eternal soul was created to spend eternity with Him. But you don't have to. That's what we call free will. You've got a choice. That choice is what you want to do. You want to talk to Jesus and call on Him. But the lake of fire here, I want you to take note of this, because we're going to see something in a minute, the next verse. But it says that the beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire at this point in chapter 19. Now let's go over to chapter 20 and verse 10. We'll see the next verse that the Bible uses to mention the lake of fire. Verse 10, it says, and now this, I want you to get the picture here. If you look at the first part of chapter 20 of book of Revelation, you'll see that the word the 1,000 years is used numerous times. Why is that? Because from chapter 19 till the end of chapter 20, there's 1,000 years takes place. That's what we call the 1,000-year reign of Christ, or the millennium. And what we see is the fact that the great white throne judgment takes place after the 1,000 years. You read first part of chapter 20, it talks about the fact that God has the angel put the chain on the devil, and he's locked up for 1,000 years. And then you turn right around and read in verse 10, look at it in verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are," or were. They're still there. 1,000 years later, they're still there. I want you to get that. This is an eternal flame. This is an eternal burning lake of fire, and God does not want anybody to go there. Jesus died to keep people from going there. This was created for the devil and his angels, but no people were ever intended on going there. Calvinism teaches that God only created certain people to go to heaven. The rest of them he created specifically to go to this awful place, and that is just not true.
Amen. Amen.
My God is not a monster. My God is love, but he's also holy. And the reason people can't go to heaven unless they've gotten saved is the fact that he cannot pollute heaven with sin. One of the things that is nasty and making our crazy world more crazy every day is the fact that our world and our leaders are accepting sin as normal. And the crazy thing is that they condemn sanity and embrace insanity. They embrace people that can't figure out which bathroom to use. Really? Good grief. I got news for you. I know which bathroom to use. I know which bathroom you better use here at the church too. Amen. The truth is, this world's going crazy, and our world is getting worse. What we need to do is to realize that there really is a place called the Lake of Fire. And the shame of it is, this building right here, before we got it, sent a lot of people there to that awful place. Oh, they're not in the lake of fire yet. The lake of fire doesn't come until after chapter 20, and let's look at it right quick. We read verse 10. Let's finish verse 10. And it says, we'll read it again and follow. And it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Sounds like a long time to me. Look at verse 11. And it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." What's that saying, preacher? That's saying God didn't have a place in heaven for them. If he could have found a place in heaven for them, he would have. But there's no place in heaven for an unborn again sinner. The only way we can get to heaven is by being born again, by being saved, by trusting Jesus. Your good works, your baptism, your church membership, nothing you can say or do other than call on Jesus from your heart will change your eternal destination. Look at verse 12, and it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. The books, plural. According to their works. Why did they go to the lake of fire? Because they're judged according to their works. If you don't get saved, you're going to be judged according to your works. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 clearly tells us how that we can don't have to worry about being judged by our works. It says, He hath made, talking about God, it says, He hath made Him, talking about Jesus, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What happens when you get saved is the fact that Jesus takes your filthy rags, your sinful filth, and He replaces it with a robe of righteousness, His robe of righteousness. So when you go to heaven, when you stand before God, you're not going to be standing before God being judged according to your works. We're going to stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. And that's how you get into heaven. That's how you miss this awful place called the lake of fire. But look at what it says in verse 13 through 15. There's a couple more times the lake of fire is mentioned here. And it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's talking about the fact that people that died and were not saved were cast into the lake of fire. People that were in hell, like the rich man and so many more that have died without Jesus so far, at that point, they are in jail in hell right now, but after the great white throne judgment, they're going to be cast into hell. Nobody, and I know some good gospel songs have got this messed up. We sing some of them every once in a while, and I try to qualify them after I see it, but nobody's going to be dancing around the great white throne. Okay? Great white throne is judging people and watching them be condemned to go into the lake of fire. You follow the sequence here, you see that at the end, and well, let's go to verse 15 and then I'll qualify this as well. It says verse 15, and this is a verse that if you can only show one person one verse in the Bible and you're trying to win them to Christ, this is a verse you need to show them. Verse 15 was a verse I used yesterday to see those teenage girls get saved. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You either get your name in God's book or you end up into the devil's lake. No other way about it. No in between. No third option there. The only way you can get that settled is to make sure your name is in God's book. And like I've said before, nobody's going to crash God's party. There's nobody going to be just showing up and the Lord say, what are you doing here? The Lord doesn't do that. So it says, you either get your name in God's book. That's why I love that song that I just sang. My name, I know my name is there. Good grief. What comfort is there? What joy is there? What peace it comes with knowing your name's in God's reservation book, never to be blotted out, never to be taken out. And it's all about getting your name there. And when we get our name there, then the next thing God asks us to do is help other people get their name in there. That's why this church is here. That's why God blesses us. That's why you hear so much from this preacher about seeing people get saved. Because that place, that awful, awful place, it's real. And we go on and live our lives as if it's not true. We say we believe the Bible. Well, if you believe the Bible, you believe there's a place called hell. And if there's a place called hell, you also, and you believe the Bible, you also understand that there are people going there. Your family, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, your co-workers. And you're probably the best chance they have of missing that awful place called the Lake of Fire. I was in my 40s before I, actually my late 30s probably, before I really understood my place as a soul winner, trying to win people to Christ. We've got a church here. We've got kids that come. We need workers that teach those kids so that they can get saved to maybe help win their children or their family, their brothers and sisters, their grandparents to Christ. Because that lake of fire is a real place. And nobody's going to heaven that hasn't got their name in God's book. And people, I know a lot of people say, well, God wouldn't send anybody to that awful place called the Lake of Fire. I got a question for you. If that's true, then why'd he make it? Another question. If that's true, why'd Jesus die? See, you got a problem answering those two questions if you think God's too good to send anybody, or too loving to send anybody to hell. By the way, God doesn't send them there anyway. He gives them an option. That option is to get saved. That option is to use the only fire escape, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God refuses, absolutely refuses, to force people to go to heaven. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's why the Bible says, whosoever will. And it also says, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, those that come to him. That lake of fire is the most awful place ever created. If you close your eyes and just think about a place that's glowing with flames, and you're watching people cast into that awful place, you're watching people, your loved ones maybe, your friends, maybe, and I pray that this is never the case here at Bible Baptist Church, but maybe even some people that come to church here. Maybe even some that claim to be saved. You say, that couldn't happen. If they're really not saved, they're going to be in hell. They're going to be in the lake of fire. There's only one way to get saved. And by the way, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If there's no change, you better get saved. You just assume that you're not saved, and you better get it right with God, because I wouldn't want you to die and find out after you draw your last breath that you made a mistake. You've got to get it, make sure it's got, you get it saved, get saved. You make sure you get it right. That lake of fire is a real place. And like I said, when people in hell, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, what's going to happen is Jesus is going to judge them at the great white throne judgment. And by the way, he says that the words that he speaks, the same is going to judge people. You say, well, what's he talking about? He's talking about people are going to be judged by God's book, the Word of God. And you and I, what we need to do is to make sure, number one, that we're saved. Number two, that you do everything you can to win your loved ones to Christ. You see, at this great white throne judgment, we're going to be watching. We're not going to be standing there to be judged. Born again believers are going to be judged at the great white, or at the judgment seat of Christ, not at the great white throne judgment. That's where we're going to be judged. But everybody that's not saved is going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. And we're going to be watching. And God's going to call names. And we may even hear some of them saying, Brian, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? You knew I wasn't saved. Why didn't you tell me? It's not my fault. As they're being cast into the lake of fire. You see, that's what's going on. When we go into the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, and it talks about God wiping away all tears, that's why we're crying. Because we've seen loved ones. We've seen people we care about. We've seen friends and family, co-workers, cast into the lake of fire. And maybe we could make a difference. The most important thing is, like I said, number one, make sure that your name's in God's book. And the only way to do that is just simply call on Jesus, just like those teenage girls did yesterday. Not trusting in anything or anybody else, you call on Jesus. And you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I don't deserve to go to heaven. But Lord, you said I could go. And you made a way for me to go. So as honest as I can be with all my heart, I beg you, Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins and save me. When you do that, Jesus promises. John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Not a chance of him casting you out of heaven if you belong to him. Not a chance of him casting you out of his fold. But I want you to make sure, for yourself, make sure. Then you say, well, I don't know how to lead someone to Christ. I got news for you. The easiest thing to do is just to tell them how you got saved. If you can't tell them how you got saved, then you just got to get saved. Because it's real easy to tell somebody where you've been if you've been there. But if you haven't been there, you won't know what to say. And they just need to realize that Jesus has already solved the problem that they have, the eternal problem. But what they need you. They need me. What happens if I said, Lord, I'm tired. I don't want to go to that last house. We were already headed to the church, by the way. We were thinking about going somewhere else. And I said, man, let's go over here. Jesus says in John 10, 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Wasn't nothing special about that yesterday. I was just following Jesus. By the way, that's a good way to stay out of trouble, amen? You get in trouble, say, well, I was just following him. That's where we need to stay. That lake of fire, I don't want us to ever think that it's not real. Because it's what needs to motivate us to make a difference. What happens if this church isn't here? How many people do you hear talking about the lake of fire that aren't a part of this church? I hadn't heard many. I don't know that I've heard any here in Bartow or in this part of Polk County. The most important thing is, and this is what I want to leave you with, we ought to be motivated by the thought that the lake of fire is a real place. The lake of fire is going to be the eternal resting place. Eternal, and not rest. There's not going to be any rest there, but the eternal place of torment. The beast and the false prophet were there for 1,000 years. And it said that the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever, a day and night, forever and ever. I'm not trying to make you upset. I'm not trying to, if I can motivate you to try a little harder to win people, I'll do it. But my goal is just to preach what the Lord wants me to preach. It's the Holy Spirit's job to set a fire under you and to get you to try a little harder. We're seeing things happen fast in our world. We don't know what's going to happen. Jesus could come before our evening service today. But if we've got tomorrow, we ought to try tomorrow to win people. If we've got the next day, we ought to try the next day. And every day we have until Jesus comes, or we go to meet him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, use us for your glory. Lord, we thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to get my name in the book of life. But Lord, let me never rest this side of heaven without trying to win more people to Christ, to get more names in that book. And Lord, we thank you for each one here. They've got people on their mind. And Lord, I'm praying for your Holy Spirit even to go out now and work on those people that they're thinking about and praying about. May have been praying for a long time. Lord, don't let any of them die without Jesus. And let us be the one to prompt them to call on Jesus. Use each one of us. And Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, let them call on Jesus even now. Call on him and ask him to forgive them and save them. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, that concludes our service this morning.